And all right, so Chris is going to be my helper, kind and good. Here in a minute, you can sit down there for a second and act like you know. That's a good place to sit. You may be a pastor one of these days, Chris, and be a good place to sit. Then you can see all these people and the way they look at you while you preach. Scrowly faces. And Miss Yvette in here today? No, she's not. Yeah, I've heard that before. Amen. All right. Now, that's some of you all's lives right there. Just blank boxes. That's all it is. Amen. And there's just your life. It's just empty. It's vain. There ain't nothing in these boxes. I just got them over to print shop. You know, they're just boxes. That's all they are. But I got them for a reason. And a lot of people build their whole life, what Jesus said, on that sinking sand of life. They have no foundation. And what's sad is they die that way as well. Empty. They die without any hope. A sad case. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to take a little bit of time this morning and preach about building blocks of life, some things you need to build your life with as a Christian. And we look a few times, and you won't have to turn there to read these, but the Bible says, 1 Corinthians, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And everybody sitting in this room is born into this world just like these boxes with. They're just empty. There's nothing on them. There's no direction per se of life. There's no purpose of life, for sort of say. You may have a vocation. You may have an education. But when you die, Solomon sums it all up like this. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. That's the way life is without Christ. Amen. You say, well, preacher, you know, I've made a lot of money. Well, you're going to leave it all here. Amen. Well, I've had a good marriage. That's great, but you'll leave one spouse here. Amen. Well, I've had a good home. That's right. You're going to leave it here. It ain't nothing you're going to take over there. You came into this world naked. You're going to leave this world naked. Amen. And so, but this is the way some people, now if this is you this morning, then you need something to happen in your life. You need Christ in your life today. And as Christ comes into your life, there's a transformation that happens in your life and a hope that comes in. And you're saved to the uttermost. And you'll know that you are. It's not a hope-so. It's a no-so salvation. It's something that you know beyond any shadow of a doubt. And boy, I'm glad today that I know that I'm saved. Amen. I don't know as much as some people, and thank the Lord for it, but I know that I'm saved. But I do know more than some other people, and I know that I'm saved. And I'm glad that I'm saved today by the grace of God. And there came a day in my life years ago, 37 years ago, near 38 now, that Jesus Christ came into my heart and saved me. And what a difference was made in my life when Jesus came in. What a difference was made in me when Jesus came in and changed me. And my whole life was changed. My whole purpose of life was changed. I mean, my goal in life was to dwell with the pigs, and now I'm dwelling with the saints. That's a whole lot better trade. Amen. And so the Bible says, "Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And we are built upon this foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Then the Bible tells us, take heed how we build upon this foundation. And so we have Jesus, and then we put our faith in Jesus, and then we begin to build our lives. All right? Now, I'm going to use these boxes to try to illustrate some things that happens in people's lives that I think, hope, they say a picture's worth a thousand words, and I'm serious about my jaw hurting. It is just like I'm chewing on needles. And so hopefully the thousand words will cut the message a whole lot shorter. Let's all say amen. And if not, thank Dr. Furman for it. All right? He's a good brother. But I'll tell you what, that dude has the biggest hands inside my mouth I've ever seen. And he had all four of them in there. Amen? And you say, four? Yeah, he had these two. And then his assistant had hers in there. I'm thinking, good gravy, dude. It ain't getting much wider. Amen? And so whenever I got saved, I put my faith in Christ. Christopher turned these boxes around in the same order. Now make sure they're spelled right. I don't want to spell Jesus wrong. Amen? And so I have Jesus and I put my faith in Christ. And so I got saved. And I'm glad that I got saved. Amen? Sure am. And that took faith in Christ. That did not take water baptism. It didn't take church membership. It didn't take anything but faith in Christ. The Bible said, whosoever shall believe on the Lord shall, or call upon the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they hear or believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And I centered the preaching of God's word, and I heard and I believed. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Very important lesson here. See all these blank sides? I want all these blank sides put right like that. Okay? And you can stack them and all the blank sides that direction. I want you to take your Bibles to Luke chapter number 12. And I'm going to read a verse there while Christopher does that for me. Luke chapter number 12. I think we have a misconception of God and heaven sometimes. I think whenever we get to heaven, we think God's just going to be deliriously happy that we made it, and that without us, he couldn't go on. But the truth of the matter is, once God saved me, God expects me to do something for him. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 47, if you would find that, and then we'll read it. And this is talking about the Lord and the servant of the Lord in this. And I don't want to read the whole story, I just want to read verse 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. And so there's a lot of Christians who never plan anything other than just being saved. Got three more over there, brother. And their whole life, they're saved, but that's it. They've never prepared themselves spiritually for anything that God's ever wanted them to do. You say, well, Brother Tim, you know what? I've been saved, and I tithe, and I'm a church member, and I think we would say there's some basic things that all of us ought to be doing. So just to help us, so that none of us get a little big-headed here, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 17. And I want to read a couple verses there in Luke number 17. And the Lord's speaking here of a man who has a servant. Now, I'm not advocating slavery here. I'm just using the scripture to kind of let you understand what the text is. And so this man has a servant, and he's a laborer is what he is, and he's going to go out here and labor. And chapter 17, verse 7, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say to him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Will he not rather say to him, make ready, wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did those things which were commanded him? He said, I throw not. He said, I don't think so. When you're the servant, you do what you're told. Amen. Amen? And he said, there's no, when you're just doing with the requirements. So there's some people that say, well, you know, Brother Tim, I come to church. Well, you ought to. Well, I tithe. You ought to. You know, I do things that I ought to do. Okay, that's what you ought to do. He said, so likewise ye, that in verse 10, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants and have done that which was our duty to do. Now, I think that's one of the misconceptions we have. We got a lot of people think because we've done something that God is really just, well, I'll tell you, without me, he'd be in a heap of a mess. And the truth of the matter, God ain't in a heap of a mess with me or without me. All right? And so there's a lot of Christians today that they have Jesus and they have their faith in Jesus, but their whole life is built on emptiness. They don't have anything. They've never taken steps to better themselves in the spiritual life. They've never done anything to honor Christ in their life. And they've not done those things that are needful and necessary and according to Scripture. And so whenever they get to heaven, their whole life, they'll just have Jesus. You say, well, that's all I need. Well, no, not really. Amen. You'll suffer loss, the Bible says, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And you'll be saved so as by fire. And so the purpose of the Christian life is not only just to be saved, but to build ourselves. In fact, we're commanded to build ourselves upon our most holy faith. In the book of Proverbs chapter 1 through 8, wisdom is working. Wisdom is speaking. In chapter 9, it's amazing. Chapter 9 verse 1, wisdom hath builded her house. She has hewn out. Now, I didn't never know what. I used to hear my dad talk about hewing ties. Now, if you have an old person in your life and they ever made any money, especially if it's in South Missouri, they cut a lot of logs and ties. And my dad used to talk about them hewing ties. Well, I never did know what that meant. One day I was reading the Bible and I thought, well, my goodness, here wisdom's hewing something. And so I looked up what hewing mean. And hewing means taking an axe and molding something and shaping something. And my dad had brothers, and my dad told my brother Arlie, he said, brother, my uncle Arlie could hew ties faster than anybody he ever saw. And they'd take an axe and they'd chop the bark off and hew this tie. Now, we have sawmills today that do that, but back then they hewed everything. And so hewing means it's a laborious, laborious thing that we have to do to hew something. But wisdom has hewed out her seven pillars. And there are seven pillars found in chapters 1 through 8 in the book of Proverbs that describes what wisdom has done. And because she has seven pillars, four on the corners and then one in between them, the front being open, she has builded a house, and whatever it's built upon that house, upon that foundation of those pillars. And the Bible says this, that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And so we need some things in our lives. And so some Christians today, they have Jesus and this is all that they have. And this may be you. Say, well, I've lived my Christian life. Well, have you done anything for the Lord? And so today, over the, maybe the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about adding some things or building some things upon our faith that I think is necessary. And I believe one day when we stand in front of God, we will find out that God was very concerned about these things that he has listed, these truths that he has listed in the Bible. Now, if you don't have Jesus this morning, and you don't have anything, you've got the other side of the box. All you have is a blank, empty life. You have a blank, empty life without Jesus. I don't care how much you laugh. We had a good time in my Sunday school class talking about all of the successes and failures of marriage. But the truth of the matter is you can laugh till you're crazy, but if you don't have Jesus, you're just crazy. I'm just telling you, everything comes down to this. When you die, what's most important is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to talk about some things that I hope will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Now, Christopher, if you will, don't turn them around yet. They'll know them here just in a minute. Now, I want you to put them in a particular order that we have them. And here in the Bible. So I want you to take your Bibles over to 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1. I want that one first. And I want you to turn around and build it here, put it right on there. And 1 Peter chapter 1, there are seven. Remember, wisdom has hewn out her seven pillars. Start over here on this side. We're not Chinese. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Good enough. Put her right there, brother. Thanks, man. Just that one for right now. 2 Peter chapter number 1. The Bible says here, talking about our precious faith and precious promises in 2 Peter chapter 1 and such like things. The Bible says here in verse number 5, and I don't want to read all of these previous verses, but we'll start in verse number 5. The Bible says, and beside this, besides faith, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue. Now there is something that we need to add to our faith, which is in Jesus Christ. And that is virtue. Virtue is a missed, I think it's something we're missing today in our Christian lives. Virtue. Now I want to read what virtue is. Virtue means strength from straining or stretching or extending. Virtue is something that goes out. Remember, virtue went out of the Lord. It is the ability to bear up, to lift up, to hold up. Virtue. Your faith in Christ must be strengthened in order to sustain the troubles and the problems you face in life. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, God is not wanting weak Christians. He is wanting Christians of virtue that bear the burdens of life in Christ, that fight the battles of sin and the devil and the world in Christ. He is wanting Christians to be able to sustain the pressures of this life with the right attitude. And everybody in this room is personally responsible for adding something to your faith. In fact, these seven things, and one of them is virtue, strength. You say, well, how do I get strength? Well, you read the Bible. And by reading the Bible, God gives you what you need. The battle is the Lord's, the Bible says. But you read the Bible and you gain understanding, so when trouble comes, you're able to handle it. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, virtue, physical, or spiritual strength is necessary to the Christian life. Second thing, Christopher, if you'll find it, is he said, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge is this. This knowledge is knowledge without error. It is not merely subject to or based on personal observation or precept, but is actual truth that you know. Now, knowledge comes from knowing the book. Knowledge has more to do with not knowing Christ as your Savior, but knowing what Christ wants you to do in and with your life. Now, I would suspect that most of us sitting in this room fail on a daily basis to seek out God's direction for our daily life. Most of us probably start our day and end our day with never giving thought to asking God how I can be used today, bring things into my life. God, I want to know Your will for my life. It has more to do with that than it does anything else. Then he says, add to knowledge temperance. Find temperance there, Christopher. The word temperance is this. Temperance is self-control. It means having control over the physical desires of the flesh. It is to master every evil inclination and appetites that we have in our flesh, directed towards sexual appetites, food appetites, being lazy and slothful. Now, I know nobody in here is all those things, but you may run into somebody that is. Spiritual discipline is what he's talking about. Disciplining yourselves to get up out of the bed at a good time to where you can spend time with God. Discipline yourselves to abstain from the appearance of evil. Discipline yourselves to abstain, listen, from social media when it ought to be dedicated to time with the Lord. The only reason why I said that is because that's kind of where we're at in this day and age. Disciplining ourselves not to be gluttons. There's two kinds of gluttons in the Bible. Do you know that? In the Roman Empire, there's two kinds of gluttons. Let me put it that way. The first glutton was the guy who just ate and ate and ate and ate and ate and ate and ate, which represents three or four of us. The other glutton was the guy who ate and ate and ate And then he went out and stuck his finger down his throat and threw up, and he went and ate some more. That's the skinny people. Gluttony. Discipline ourselves to healthy bodies. Remember, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Discipline, spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline to keep yourselves from doing things that God tells you and me not to do. I don't know. I assume this is correct. I don't go everything by statistics. But this is statistics today. If you parents let your children have smartphones and they have Snapchat, y'all know I don't do Snapchat, so I don't really know what it is. I can put it together, snap, and it shows a picture, I think is what it is. And then it's supposed to delete it. It doesn't. Somewhere it's out there. Okay. All right. Listen to this. And they don't separate Sweet Springs Baptist people from this, so just so everybody knows. How many in here is 12 and, well, 12 and above, that'd be everybody in here because of 10. All right, so all you 11-year-olds, you're out until the next year. All right? Now listen to this. Anybody in their teens, let's put it that way, has seen pornography on their phone. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Well, Brother Tim, you know what? That's just for kids that don't go to church. No, they don't separate them that way. They've seen them. By the time they get out of their teens, they will have looked at pornography on their phone. See, and once you start looking at that, you can't help but keep looking at it. A spiritual discipline is taking time to pray. Is taking time to pray when it's needful to pray. See, spiritual discipline is needful today in our Christian lives. It's getting up out of bed and being at church on time. Yeah. Well, I'm here all the time on time, so I'm okay with saying that. It is being spiritually disciplined. Spiritual discipline has the idea of doing what God tells me to do when I ought to do it. So I can have faith, but you know, Brother Tim, I don't have any temperance. Well, you need to build that because God said, add to your faith. Put that on top of your faith. Just like building an ice cream cone. Amen, a sundae. Just keep adding on to it. It gets better and better. Then he says this. He said, add to temperance patience. Now, here's what happens. If you remember some of the people in the Bible who didn't demonstrate temperance, self-control, they weren't patiently waiting for God's will. Abraham is one of them. Abraham, you're going to have a son. Abraham's 100 years old, or 70 years old, and he hadn't had a son yet. I mean, days are clicking here, brother. Amen? And his wife, her age is clicking. And if we don't have a son, quick, we ain't never going to get a son. We're going to die before long. I mean, the world tells you, you know, you got to have kids by the time you're 12 now. If you're not that direction, then you're an oddball. Well, just be an oddball. Well, he's 70-some years old and he only have a kid. And he says, God, I don't know how this is going to work. Sarah can't have kids. I want kids. She wants kids. Can't have kids. But he didn't use temperance. So Sarah came up with a great plan. She said, Abraham, I got this servant we picked up a few days ago down there in Egypt. And I think you ought to just go in there and have sex with her and we'll have a kid with her. I'll just call him mine. Abraham, okay. That knucklehead. So she gets pregnant. And of all things, sir, what have you done? Can I tell you something? When it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. Yeah. So come a long time, God said, well, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham says, no, God, I got a son, Ishmael. I want you to pick Ishmael. And God says, no, I don't want Ishmael. I'll bless Ishmael. But he's not the one I want. And because he did not wait patiently upon the Lord, he created problems. And in your life and my life, when we don't demonstrate temperance, we never wait on God's time. And young boys, young girls, you listen to me. You approach the wedding altar having never kissed another person. You say, well, Brother Tim, what's so big about that? Well, glad you ask. Somebody may be waiting for their first kiss from you. And how are you going to feel if they've been slobbering around on 8 or 10 other guys or girls, whichever the other case may be, and they haven't saved their first kiss for you? Say, well, I think that's dumb. Well, I don't want to go into a lot of sex education right here real quick, but I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of trouble that young boys and young girls face because they get involved in sex long before they should. And then whenever they get married, after a while they begin to think, Now I don't want to go into it, but I could, because I've talked to enough of both groups to know the thoughts. You just be patient. Say, well, my goodness, Brother Tim, I'm 18 and not married yet. Bless your heart. Say, well, what am I going to do? I can't find a husband. Well, just love the Lord. Just be patient. Our good friend, Brother Elmo Reniger, used to have a wonderful saying. Better to want something you don't have than to have something you don't want. That helps some of you single folks. Amen. Well, you know what? I did tell my Sunday school, I better not. She's taping this. Might offend somebody. The Bible said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. Let's just be add to temperance. We need patience up there, brother. You're failing at your job. I'm about to fire you. All right? The Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I mean, it's wonderful to be saved, wonderful to have our faith in Christ, but when I get to heaven, I want some virtue. I want some knowledge. I want some temperance. I want some patience. The next thing is godliness. Boy, that's a word that isn't much preached in our churches today. The word godliness. Godliness means devout reverence in living both in attitude and actions. We hear little about that, but the apostle here says this, and to patience, godliness. It is a level of holiness that represents God here on earth. Now, I did read several commentaries, and all of them about agree on this. There's no necessarily particular plan that if you have knowledge but you don't have virtue yet, or if you don't have patience or whatever, that they have to be in this order. What the apostle and through the Holy Spirit saying is you need these things in your life. And so we need to work this week at building. If you're saved and you got faith in Christ, you need to examine, do I have spiritual strength? Do I have knowledge of what God wants me to do? Do I have temperance and self-control? Do I have patience? Do I have a godly mind and heart in my life? The next one is, to godliness, brotherly kindness. Philadelphia is the word that he uses here in the Greek. We have a city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. You know, we need that up here. Put that one up here, Christopher. Brotherly love. All we're trying to do is build our lives, and if we're not careful, we'll go through our whole life with them boxes turned the other way, and we will have never added anything to our Christian life. We'll just live a self-centered, self-sufficient, self-enduring, self-fulfilling life. The Bible says, but whoso hath this world's good, and see his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in tongue, or in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. I'm going to tell you, if you can't have some brotherly kindness, boy, isn't that something? Brotherly kindness. Just kindness one to another. You don't have to agree with everybody about everything, but you sure can be kind in disagreeing. We've followed the political stage way too long that the dirt and the grime and the gush and the rush of all that stuff has to be brought out in hostility. I don't agree with people, but I don't have to be ugly and mean to them either. I try not to. I can be, and you can be, but we need to demonstrate brotherly kindness. Then the last one is charity, and that has to do with God, has to do with our love for the Lord. The brotherly kindness has that word of to mankind, that word charity has that one towards God. Are we loving towards the Lord? Charity. Charity. Now the Bible says in verse number 8 of 2 Peter, look at there and we'll about be finished. If these things be in you and abound, these things right here, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, charity, brotherly kindness, godliness. If these things be in you and abound, they, notice what he said, those things right there shall make you, if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be bare nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, if you lack these things, you don't have these things. He that lacketh these things is blind, spiritually blind. He cannot see afar off. He's blind about himself and he's blind about others. But the saddest of all is that he's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He's forgotten the good grace of God that saved him. And all he is saved. And the other side of them boxes represent his life, just emptiness. So God said, if you have these, you'll be unbarren and you'll bear fruit and you'll bear prosperity and the blessings of God. These things will make sure of that. But he said, if you don't have them, then you have forgotten the good grace of God in your life. You say, well, you know what? I like to add certain things to my life. I'm not a cook. I can cook certain things. I just certain plain things. Listen, nothing has to be gourmet for me to eat. Amen. Just make it. I'm about good with it. Okay. But you know, there's people every once in a while. The kids will watch them cooking shows. And if you're into that cooking show stuff, that's fine with me. It don't bother me none at all. And, you know, everybody has their own little way, their little things they add to whatever they're going to make. They have a little pinch of this, a dab of that, a gallon of this. You know, seems like everybody likes whiskey. Seems like that makes everything good, amen? You watch them, they put something in it, alcoholic. And so they go, and boy, they're doing this, that, and you know, they're adding to it. But you look at it before they start. And of course, the guy doing the tasting, I guess, either he's the best liar or he's really good at eating and knowing what's good. A man, he eats it. He says, this is great. And you know, but before it all is his ingredients, a pan. But boy, they begin to put it together here and there and this and that. And all of a sudden, it comes out to this nice meal. I'm going to tell you what. God's given you all the ingredients you need for a good Christian life. And if you don't have those, it's your fault. If I don't have them, it's my fault. So you need to go back to 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, I'm sorry, chapter number 2, this afternoon, instead of not. And you need to look at yourself and you need to ask yourself, do I have these to my faith? Have I added these? Have I added these to my Christian life? And if you have, praise the Lord. If you haven't, you need to start adding them. Now listen, if you're not saved, we're not going to take time to turn all these boxes around, but if you're not saved, that's you. You're just a blank, empty box today. It don't matter how many of them on this side, they're all blank. If that's you, that's you right here this morning, right here. That's you. You're just an empty box. That's all you are. Empty life. But boy, if you can get Jesus and you put your faith in Him, it'll make all the difference to your life. So you can leave out of here just with Jesus, stand before Him with nothing. You can leave out of here without Jesus, or you can leave out of here with the purpose that I'm going to build seven things to my life. Seven important truths to my life today. Father, thank You for the day. And we just pray now that You'll bless us and help us. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here this morning that's never been saved, Lord, You'll draw them and save them. I pray, Lord, if there's somebody here that's saved, but that's all they are. They've never added anything to their Christian life. They've never...